Coming up on KUCB News, APIA is bringing Unalaska a new Head Start facility, and oil and gas leasing on federal lands and waters is on pause. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. The Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association is bringing a new Head Start facility to Unalaska. Currently, because of social distancing mandates amid the coronavirus pandemic, the island's Head Start building can only accommodate about 10 students aged 3 to 5. But Paula Pinder, the Director of Family and Community Development with APIA, says the new facility will allow for roughly 60 students to be enrolled. Fully staffed, Pinder says they will employ about 10 people, as well as maintenance crew. She says the building will also be a resource for community growth and career development.
We are also planning to offer internships to residents interested in child development, teaching, or other careers that employment in the new facility could offer.
Additionally, Pinder says they are reaching out to universities to discuss dual enrollment programs for local teens.
We want to really help build sustainable communities and have a positive impact. And through this facility and a dual enrollment program, you know, we can really do more to tap into the youth in the community and encourage them to remain in the community and pursue careers and, you know, childcare or whatever.
Marie Schliebe is the lead teacher with the Unalaska Head Start program. She's been working there for about 14 years and says the program has outgrown the current building. Schliebe says of the things she's looking forward to in having the new building, the extra room is what she's most excited about.
The space, the gym, where we can do a lot more, you know, large motor, and to be able to, you know, add more areas for science, construction, a little construction area, bigger library area. Basically, yeah, the space.
The new facility will be nearly 8,000 square feet and will have two separate Head Start rooms, a space for infants and toddlers, an indoor multi-purpose room, and an outdoor playground, which will feature Alaska-themed toys. The building will be located on Strawberry Hill off Bjorka Drive and will sit above the tsunami line to provide an emergency evacuation center. Construction is expected to begin soon, and Pinder says it should be finished by the end of October. Pinder says that they are also planning to display regional artwork in the new facility. APIA is currently holding a contest asking for artwork from people of all ages in Alaska. The top contestants will eventually have their artwork permanently displayed in the Head Start building. For more information on the contest or to find out how to register for the program, visit apiai.org. In a challenge to the federal government, Governor Mike Dunleavy says he's asserting the state's right to control submerged lands under navigable lakes and rivers.
We are now at the point where we will be physically exerting our sovereignty.
Dunleavy sent a letter to President Biden on Friday announcing his stance. His position has implications for commercial permits and wilderness access on 800,000 miles of river. But Dunleavy's message is equally about symbolism and principle. Dunleavy repeatedly invoked the U.S. Supreme Court's Sturgeon decision. John Sturgeon is a moose hunter who was ticketed for using a hovercraft in a national preserve. He became an emblem of Alaska-style states' rights in 2019 when the court said the Park Service was wrong. The court affirmed the state's jurisdiction over a navigable river, even one that flows through a federal conservation unit, like a park, preserve, or refuge. Sturgeon was on hand at Dunleavy's press conference.
Freedom is not free. It must be continually fought for, not only in the battlegrounds, but on our own soils as well.
Jim Walker, Chief of Access for the Department of Natural Resources, encouraged river travelers to check the DNR website to see if they need a state permit. He also asked that they fill out a questionnaire after their trip. Walker says it could be useful in litigation against the federal government.
If, while you are on this trip this summer, you witness or experience instances of federal overreach, if you are, like John Sturgeon, ticketed, cited, or threatened with the same, we want to know about it.
Jim Adams, Alaska Director of the National Parks Conservation Association, says the Park Service hasn't issued a citation on rivers or lakes in 2 years. He says Dunleavy is, quote, recycling the tired Alaska state versus feds myth that was old 20 years ago. A spokesperson for the Interior Department had no immediate comment. Oil and gas leasing on federal lands and waters is on pause. That includes a sale in Alaska's Cook Inlet that was originally slated for later this year and is now suspended indefinitely. At the same time, the federal government is reviewing its energy program and gathering input from industry experts, environmental advocates, and tribal leaders across the country. Several representatives from those groups, including two from Alaska, weighed in on the program at an Interior Department forum last week. Sabine Pooks with Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
Nicole Borromeo, Executive Vice President and General Counsel of the Alaska Federation of Natives, was one of the experts who spoke at the forum. She says that while Alaska Native communities are on the front lines of climate change, the Federation also acknowledges the oil and gas industry is a boon for the Alaska Native workers it employs.
Alaska Natives do not operate in an either-or space when it comes to the nation's energy policy. We favor both traditional and emerging forms because a combination of both best serves our state and our people.
In Alaska, the National Petroleum Reserve and a large swath of Cook Inlet are both part of the federal oil and gas program. Earlier this year, the federal government halted an upcoming lease sale in the inlet in response to an executive order from the Biden administration geared toward addressing climate change. Alaska and 12 other states are suing the Biden administration for that decision, while some environmental advocates are petitioning the government to block offshore leasing for 5 years. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland says the government needs to take a long view at its management of public lands and waters.
The pause in new oil and gas lease sales gives us space to look at the federal fossil fuel programs that haven't been meaningfully examined or modernized in decades.
Michael Levine is a Juneau-based Arctic Fellow with Ocean Conservancy, an environmental advocacy nonprofit. He says the pause was a good first step, but says further reforms and legislation are needed.
If we could make one change in the legislation about offshore oil and gas, it would be to prioritize the health and viability of ocean ecosystems rather than the way it's stated now, with a priority for extraction.
Levine says offshore leasing in Alaska jeopardizes ocean ecosystems and the people who rely on them, including coastal communities and members of the fishing industry. Representatives from trade unions and oil and gas industry associations say cutting federal oil and gas production would be bad for jobs. Borromeo says AFN is also concerned about maintaining energy jobs for Alaska Native people. She says the department should actively consult Native communities in its decision-making on energy policy.
Let us show you our lands. Don't necessarily just rely on what private industry or environmental groups are saying. We want to be the ones to take you and to show you.
She encourages Interior Department officials to visit Alaska to see it for themselves.
That means you're going to have to stay probably a week or so because it's going to take you a day to get here, a day to adjust up in Anchorage, and then we got to get out to the bush. We need to try.
The Interior Department says it will complete an interim report on its federal conventional energy programs this summer. It's soliciting additional feedback until April 15th. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The Unalaska City Council meets tonight via teleconference and Zoom. At their special session, councilors are expected to consider extending the deadline for Unalaska Chena Power to obtain financing for the geothermal power project at McCushion Volcano. They are also expected to decide whether or not to impose an excise tax on tobacco products in Unalaska. The City Council will meet tonight at 6 o'clock. The community is encouraged to participate in the meeting. People can join Zoom online or telephone in at one of the numbers provided on our community calendar at kucb.org. Comments and questions can also be emailed in advance to City Clerk Margie Veeder no later than 5 p.m. today to be read into the record at the meeting. Or you can also listen live here on 89.7 FM or Channel 8 TV. And the Ulluwalk Family and Health Services Clinic is conducting a survey to better understand the health concerns and needs of the Unalaska community. For more information or to find a link to the survey, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. Finally, March is International Women's History Month. In honor of women's history, KUCB is collaborating with Unalaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence to bring the community a series of conversations with the women of Unalaska. The series celebrates the women who are making and living history right here, right now. Stay tuned after today's newscast for another episode of the series. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.